Business in the Okanagan matters. This is Law Talk with lawyers Clay Williams and Tanveer Gill from FH&P Lawyers LLP. They talk business and take your questions at podcast@fhplawyers.com. Now, here's Clay Williams.
Welcome to another edition of FH&P Lawyers Law Talk, where we try and stay relevant by picking up some really neat new topics. And today we've got a really neat one. I'm Clay Williams, a partner at FH&P, and as usual, my sidekick, Tanveer Gill.
Sidekick.
I thought you'd like that one. You're the Robin to my Batman, Tanveer. So, but not today, perhaps. Today, I think you know a lot more about the topic.
I don't know. Do I? Maybe. We'll see. I'm, you know, a lot older than I look.
Well, that's, I wish I could say the same thing.
Just kidding. So something that's caused a lot of buzz recently, which is topical to say the least, is the release of ChatGPT. This came out November 30th, and man, did it create a buzz. I heard that within a couple of days, like less than a week, it had over 1 million users.
Yeah, and actually, when we were talking about doing this topic, I just went into to the Google, as people my age call
the
it.
The Google.
And just typed it in, and wow, just about every lawyer magazine or publication is chatting about it and whether or not, you know, it's something that is going to change
what's
the legal profession,
do?
Maybe yeah. Replace us.
I think everyone's wondering, like, what is the effect? So let's start with the basics. I downloaded ChatGPT a while back, so I have it on my phone. So when I was thinking about our podcast earlier today, I typed in, what is AI? And this is the answer it pushed out for me. AI is the simulation of human intelligence in machines that are designed to think and act like humans. AI technologies can perform tasks that normally require human intelligence, such as visual perception, speech recognition, decision making, and language translation. So essentially it means that what we're doing is teaching computers to mimic human behavior and thoughts in order to find the most relevant and accurate results. So it's no wonder that people are questioning, is my job going to be gone because some AI robot could essentially do it better, faster, cheaper?
And I think many, many lawyers have typed in some legal questions and issues and asked this program to produce a result.
Yeah.
And
it's that this program itself is, I think, what's creating the buzz, because AI is not new. AI has been around for years. Kevin Chung from our office actually put out a blog about it back in 2019. So it's AI itself is nothing new. It's the fact that now the public can download this software and plug in a question and it will spit out a very, you know, formulated response, and it'll reformulate the same response the more times you ask the question. It answers it differently each time. Whether it's better, I don't know, but it definitely changes as you ask.
Well, what I think is different about this program is that it will respond to any question. Now, we do subscribe to some artificial intelligence programs that are limited in scope. For instance, we have some programs that will provide you with answers to the quantum of certain claims, injury claims, and that type of thing. And then this will be it's an artificial intelligence program, we're told, that searches through the different cases and will come up with an amount. So artificial intelligence isn't something that is new to the profession. There's certainly a bunch of it being used, but it's just that it'll answer anything.
It's definitely much more broad now and much more accessible. I think there's legitimacy to what it means for the law practice, for lawyers, for well-seasoned lawyers, as well as younger lawyers. I think one thing that we can't even question is what impact it's going to have on certain jobs. So things that require data processing and analysis is definitely going to be taken over by AI. Something like a simple customer service assistance. If I go online to return an order I've made and I need a label and it doesn't show on my online order, I will literally just talk to a robot and it shoots out a label to you into your email. So you're not even communicating with a person. So these things are already in effect, taking those jobs away from somebody who would be, you know, sitting at a warehouse for like an Aritzia or a Zara doing those chats with customers, right? Any repetitive task that a human is doing now, AI will take over. And I don't think all of the AI overlap is bad. Apparently, it's very good at fraud detection, which, I mean, we know in our industry, real estate, business, law, fraud is, you know, always there. It's always a concern for us, for brokers, for realtors. So if it's able to detect fraud, that would be interesting on how that would overlap with our job. But yeah, generally people are concerned. If you type in a question and it spits out the answer, do you still need a lawyer? I would argue, obviously. And I think it's in our argument that we don't have AIs taking our jobs because we argue things, we analytically review things, and we're supposed to be thinking on our feet. And I don't think AI can do that yet.
Creative thinking and strategy. That's some of the articles that I've read think that an AI certainly isn't going to be able to replace those things, at least yet. But one of the articles I read, a lawyer asked it to prepare a demand letter. And, you know, it was a very well-written demand letter when they published that part of it as well. And there's something that I could see quickly being taken over, and that's a process that's done over and over again.
I thought about that, too. Like, the basics of basics it can do. Something like a demand letter, maybe simple pleadings. Can it do it? Yes. Can it do it very well? Maybe not the first go around, but let's say AI spits out a demand letter.
But that's the thing about it, is it learns.
Is it learning? Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that people are going to take something like that demand letter, possibly apply it, and then continue to reuse that same draft, right? That same precedent. Would it be the best precedent? Would it be as good as it could be, or would it be up to date? Maybe not, but people aren't going to think, let me go to the AI and have it re-give me a demand letter for each and every situation. So I think it's going to put out work that generally is fine, could be better, and that's going to be reused over and over, which, like, that's just what people do.
But perhaps the AI is learning. If you're saying that you're using the same precedent each time, but the
AI wouldn't be.
But
using
the AI
the same
might
thing.
Be, you know, looking at all of the different letters that lawyers have written and change it.
Maybe, but where does it get these letters? I don't know.
Well, I think all it's doing right now is it's searching the internet.
So the other day, I started playing with the chat just to see what it would do with something basic. Our last topic was the foreign buyer ban. And so I went in there and I just typed in, can a non-Canadian purchase property in British Columbia? And it said, yes, yes, non-foreigners can purchase property, da, da, da. A very general answer, but incorrect, depending on where you're buying. And it didn't go into those nuances. It did end with the primer, this is not legal advice. We recommend you seek, professional advice from a lawyer. Anyway, so then I asked it,
okay, but that's a good example, because if you're relying on it for that, then you get yourself into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. So then I asked it, because you can just continue chatting with it. So then I asked it, have you considered the foreign buyer ban? And I gave the name of the prohibition, like the full act. And it said, you are right. I have not considered this. Taking into account that there are certain areas you can't purchase in, da da da. And then I asked it a question about, I think I asked it about property tax. As a foreign buyer, do I have to worry about anything? And all it mentioned was that there's a 15% tax in Vancouver, which is not correct. There's also the additional 20% tax, depending on where you're buying. So, you know, in Kelowna, in West Kelowna, and it doesn't take that into consideration. So again, I said, have you considered this additional tax of 20% in, you know, such and such areas? And it shoots out, I'm sorry, you are correct. I did not take this into consideration. And then gives me a blurb on what is additional tax and then ends with, this is not legal advice. Speak to a lawyer.
Well, and so it's the general consensus from the articles that I read is it's not there yet. One of the lawyers had it do a summary dismissal application. And the author of that article described it as writing an article that read like an article student with a head injury. So, so it's not quite there yet. But boy, it sure is getting there.
It's getting there. I mean, what I think is concerning is the fact that we take on summer students and articling students and junior lawyers to do a lot of the grunt work. in reality. So, you know, something like researching a topic, or, you know, what is this, what research this legal argument, or can my neighbor do this? That work and the hours and hours of research is being done by our students and younger lawyers. So the fact that AI is going to be able to do that faster and quicker, and for us, obviously cheaper, that's what I think the first thing it's going to impact is those younger lawyers that don't know as much about what they're doing.
And that's a really good point. Yeah. So if some of the less skilled jobs are being used by AI, how are you ever going to learn? Like, we both went through that process.
Yeah.
Doing that grunt work is how you learn the theory, the fundamentals behind our craft.
Yeah. And I think that the younger generation does find it much easier, and I don't know if they can help it. Like, they do just go on and ask questions, punch things into Google and rely on what it gives you, which is not what you're supposed to do. But you see this more and more. Like, I've seen younger lawyers say, I typed this into ChatGPT just to see. But I'm nervous. Like, where are you going to draw the line and say, okay, it said this, but I know better? I was reading an article earlier today. I don't know. I don't remember if it was the Business Insider or something, but they had a judge test out one of these AI resources, and he had asked it to, I think, write pleadings or possibly respond to a basic legal question. And it did it. It drafted the legal arguments and the pleadings, but the judge's overall response, reading it and analyzing that compared to others, he said, sometimes AI writes plausible sounding but incorrect or nonsensical answers, which makes sense because I re-asked the same questions that I had originally asked about the foreign buyer ban and the tax, and it gave me the same incorrect response or the same general response. So it's, you know, it's not there yet.
No, it's not there yet. And that's the consensus from the legal articles, the authors that I've read. It's not there yet. Yeah. But as a demonstrator, holy moly, it's going to be very interesting times ahead.
And I think it's
you're right, primarily for those junior lawyers or lawyers doing things that lend themselves to being learned and to do it over and over again.
Yeah.
Processes.
Yeah. And on the same hand, we have a huge access to justice problem, right? We learn about it in law school. We know the amount of people out there that aren't able to speak with a lawyer, that can't afford it, and all these little things that create this massive issue and this access to justice issue. Maybe this is going to be something that'll help, right? Not to say that it's completely correct, but if somebody needs basic answers on the simple, you know, small claims court process in BC, you know, what is evidence, what is hearsay, will it help a self rep with those answers? Quite possibly.
Will it draft an argument for them? Not yet.
Maybe, of
fact,
course. Yeah, maybe.
The worry I would think right now is that somebody types in a legal situation into the chat. What do they call it?
ChatGPT.
GPT, and you get a response that isn't correct, and that's going to perhaps result in some further litigation that might not be necessary if they just.
Well, it does end with that primer now, which apparently it never did, but it started now giving the this is not legal advice. And this is just the beginning, too. Like, AI has been out there forever, like I said. This ChatGPT creating public accessibility is the newest platform, but it's now going to create this like AI arms race with Google and with what is the one that we have here at the firm? Like, I don't even know what our search engine is, but all of these different companies are going to have their own AI implemented. So now if we type into Google, what is the small claims maximum for damages? It's going to shoot out an AI response rather than take you to a link where you can go on the provincial website to see what the rules are.
Yeah. Well, changes are coming. Just before I forget, I mentioned that one of the legal authors had asked ChatGPT to do a demand letter, then asked ChatGPT to do the demand letter in Shakespearean English.
And it did.
I got a kick out of it. Hark, cease thy heinous acts, lest thou be brought to court. I think that's great.
That's Clay's nerdy input of the day.
All right, so last one, since it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And so some of you may not know, but Tanveer was recently married. So
This is literally my second year anniversary. Is that recent?
Second year? Well, yes. First, quite recent. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, why don't you type into chat GTS or GPS.
GPT.
What are the chances?
Oh, God.
of a recently married couple staying together in Canada.
What are the chances?
How long does it take for it to produce a response, too?
It is not possible to determine the chances of a recently married couple staying together in British Columbia or any other specific geographic location, as there are many factors that can influence the success or failure of a marriage, including the couple's individual and collective life experiences, personal and financial circumstances, and the quality of their relationship. Additionally, statistical data on divorce rates can vary depending on the sources and methodologies used. It is important for every couple to focus on building and maintaining a strong, healthy relationship based on trust, communication, and mutual support.
So does chat GPT get paid by the word? I mean, we learn nothing from that response. So no. There you have it.
Trust, communication, what are these things?
There you have it. It's not there yet.
I'm going to say I'm not recently married because yesterday my husband said, 2 years, but it feels like 22, so.
I always say, it feels like forever.
FHMP lawyers are rooted in community and ready to help. Send your business law questions to podcast@fhplawyers.com.